It was not too long ago I had a conversation with a woman actually related through radio. Her name is Rosa Gardner, and we were talking about she actually belongs to the Chippewa County Health Department, and she's a public health nurse and a board-certified lactation consultant. And I didn't realize, I guess you don't understand until you're in somebody else's shoes or you talk to people. Breastfeeding at one time, I think, was a very natural thing that people did. And as a nation, maybe because of convenience, we've moved away from that. And I would have thought, okay, no big deal. And then after talking to Rosa, I realized maybe we've missed out. Maybe there are benefits, health benefits, that can affect all of us. And I'm all about natural healing and doing things as much as we can the natural way. And I realized in this fast pace world with mothers working, it's got to be very difficult. But if anybody maybe has an answer, her name is Rosa Gardner, and she lives in a town that's probably about 150 miles from where I'm at. She's in the eastern end of Upper Michigan. How you doing, Rosa?
Hi, TJ. I'm doing great. I'm glad I can be here with you at this podcast.
Thanks for did you listen to any of my other shows, or are they a little out there for you?
Hey, you know, I'm always interested in different things. So, no, it was fun. It was really fun to listen to those.
And, you know, I always think if there are things out there that maybe either are hidden from us or we've forgotten, natural things that healed us at one time. And so after I talked to you, we did a brief thing for the radio, and I really became fascinated with how breastfeeding, first of all, is a very natural way, and it also is a very healthy way. What would you like to tell us about that?
Well, I think that just so people kind of have an idea of why do I even have the ability to speak on this, I think it's important that, you know, those that are giving their opinions or their background as far as experiences and such. But I am a mother of five children. So my first child was born in 1981, and I am probably a former hippie. I don't know if I can claim that anymore. But you know, because I had natural as a capital N in my life at that point, you know, I really pursued more natural ways of doing things. So I feel very fortunate because I was able to find other women of like-mindedness concerning breastfeeding and birthing and in mothering and parenting in general as a whole. All those things were interrelated. So I found the initial contacts through the La Leche League meetings that were available at the time. So La Leche League means the milk, and it's an international organization now that started in 1956 based on the fact that women breastfeeding in 1956, nobody they knew of was breastfeeding, and actually their doctors were probably recommending more so formula because it was the scientific way to go, and you could count on it or measure it or whatever. So women were desperate for help. They started their own group, and a lot of things that can become a part of what we do actually start from grassroots, the grassroots organization, people looking for answers, people searching for more natural ways to do things. So that helped kind of escort me into this whole realm of breastfeeding. So that's where I started from. So I have five children. I had one home birth. I tried a couple times for home birth, and for various reasons it didn't work out, but I had one beautiful home birth, and I have five children that all breastfed. This is an honest disclosure here, at least 3 years. I had one that breastfed for 5 years, so I hope nobody loses their mind about that.
That's okay.
But
that's totally
fine. It's very common in the third world for people to breastfeed into toddlerhood, and it's important to people to realize that breastfeeding is not just a feeding method. So I think people figure if a kid can talk and say pizza and eat pizza, then they shouldn't be breastfeeding.
Right.
But in my case, it was much more than that. So I was able to, as a mother, very naturally find out and evolve through the whole parenting of a baby through the breastfeeding as a very big part of that parenting method, I guess you could say. So, and it's very, like you've talked about, it's very natural. And I had a lot of support, though. I had other women doing it. So if I had questions or concerns, I had other women. Because this is 1981, 1983, mm-hmm.
Right.
1986. There was no Facebook. There wasn't Google. So we were in it kind of together, sharing as women together. This has people have done for millions of years. Women coming together and helping each other that way. And, you know, the Lelechi League group does have a scientific, you know, basis. They have a board of doctors and other professionals that do consult with them because things have evolved to that point. But really, the support and the companionship was very big. So that's who I am on a personal level. I have four grandchildren, and three out of those four have breastfed with a lot of my tutelage and help along the way, which the mothers, thank goodness, were very willing for me to do. So I'm very thankful for that. And I've had one of my children has written an English report that said we talked about breast milk as the nectar of the gods, or the, you know, relating it to Greek mythology. Mm-hmm. So all of my kids are kind of convinced breastfeeding is the way to go, and they aren't afraid to encourage their friends whose partners are having trouble to call me or to access my knowledge base. So, and they're very supportive, you know, with their partners to do it as well. So I'm kind of, I see that if we have a breastfeeding family, the ripple effect is very wide. So when you put the pebble in the water, the ripples spread. So with me as the hub of the wheel here, my breastfeeding relationship can impact many more people just by having my own children and breastfeeding them. So I think that's kind of where I can speak to breastfeeding newborns. I can speak to breastfeeding toddlers. I had an experience where I was breastfeeding a toddler, and I was pregnant, and then I was breastfeeding two children at a time, a baby and a toddler. So that's kind of unknown in the world that you can do that. It's very possible. Mm-hmm. Doesn't hurt anybody. And then, so I can bring a lot of that type of information, even breastfeeding as a 40-year-old. I had a baby at 40.
Wow.
So I'm a geriatric person having a baby. Like, there's something wrong with you. I was really high risk and all that, and I had a perfectly fine 9.5-pound baby, naturally born at 9 days overdue. So I was really ready for her to come. So, but everything went natural. So I'm bringing to this whole picture who I am as a person, definitely as a person.
You've lived it. You've experienced it. You know what you're talking
exactly.
about. And then also, mm-hmm. now, were you working at the time? Were you an RN during when you were having some of the children?
Yes. Now, in my day and age, there were very few people that worked as much full-time as I do now. So when I was having my children, I was very fortunate. My husband and I decided I would go back to work when the baby would be 1 year old. So I always went back to work, but at 1 year old, by that time, they were pretty much able to not have to, I was not needing to pump when I was away from them, and I worked part-time, so I wasn't gone many, many days. So we made it work for us very well, where he was the only caregiver, and I did not have to pump. So that's very different than what women are experiencing now.
Yeah.
But I did work as a nurse, and then I went from, you know, I'm not much of a hospital nurse. I don't feel like I can fully help people in that setting personally. Many nurses do, but I felt much better working in the home. So I do home visiting now. I'm a home visiting nurse for mothers and babies. I've done that for about 15 years through the WIC program, through maternal infant programs. So that's kind of my thing. Like my kids say, babies are your business. So mm-hmm. that is what I feel very, very good about, and I feel very blessed to have this as part of my work. So I love my work, mm-hmm. and I love that I'm also an independent lactation consultant, so I can help anyone. I have some Facebook sites that I administer. People can reach me that way. So I feel like there's, in this day and age, social media does allow me to reach a lot more people than I ever could before.
I want to ask you about, because you were talking to me when we talked, did that little short radio interview. You talked about the benefits, and there's research behind. Can you name some of those things that you feel if you breastfeed your child? Because look at, you know, in the last 20, 30 years, a lot of illnesses have sprung up. It seems like it's an epidemic in so many areas. And I'm mm-hmm. sure there's many different reasons why. But maybe one of them is because people have gotten away from breastfeeding. Is that part of it, you think, maybe?
Oh, definitely. I do think that's an unfortunate part of it. I think that when you think about a brand new baby's, the inside of the baby's gastrointestinal system. It's pure. It's only, you know, it's like, you know, never been touched by anything else. So when the first food is a man-made product, and I know that, you know, that there's an attempt to make it very much something the baby can grow on, it's going to include a sugar that is not a natural sugar. It's going to include many other extra things for preserving that product because it needs to stay on the shelf. Some of these formulas are good for 2 and 3 years on the shelf. So you know that there's been processing done to make that possible. Whereas with breast milk, it's very much made similar. We kind of compare it to blood, actually. It's like white blood. So therefore, it's going to be based on what we as a species need. What does our species need? What is the most compatible substance? So when a baby's, for instance, a baby's experiencing the type of sugar that's in breast milk, that's going to be a whole different substance than the sugar that's in formula, because there is sugar in both substances, but the kind that's in breast milk is going to be much more easily digested. It stimulates the hormones in the gut in a very different way than formula would. So one of the things we're finding is we believe that there is enough good research showing that diabetes can be, to some significant amount, even help to prevent it in that child because of the type of sugar that's in the breast milk versus formula. So that's just one example. We also are finding, you know, a lot of connection to just even the immune system. The immune system is so important. A lot of people are getting autoimmune diseases this day. And formula cannot have any protection from for immunity. It can't. It's not a living substance, whereas breast milk is. So when the baby gets breast milk, they're getting the mother's immunity. So when she has a buildup of germs in her body, and her body reacts and produces antibodies to fight the germs, then she also can provide those same antibodies in her breast milk to protect the baby. In the same way, if the baby is exposed to someone sneezing on him or whatever germs in the world that's around them, they provide in their saliva some of that that antigen or that germ back into the mother's body through the nipple, and then the mother makes the antibodies once again to fight that germ, and the baby receives that protection specific to that germ back in the breast milk. So it's a fabulous flow of a system to protect from just basically the everyday germs that we experience. And it sets inside the gut a protective lining so that the baby's not going to be reacting to things in the environment so easily that could promote allergies or even obesity. Now, the sugar thing is another thing for obesity. We do have good research that shows that breast milk, when it's done over a period of time, more than a day or two, but over 6 months to 12 months is a good span of time to breastfeed, that can actually prevent obesity just by the kind of sugar and the kind of fat you're getting in breast milk versus formula.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that it's like a formula. It's going to be more of a concentrated sugar, something that the body's going to have a hard time to break down. So go ahead if you want to comment on that. Yeah.
No. That's exactly it. I think that it sets up a whole different reaction in the body. It's something specific to formula that they don't have to endure. And the other part of this is formula is the same every time you open up a can. They have the many different marketing approaches to formula for the newborn, for the older baby, for the baby that spits up, for the baby that's too gassy, for the baby that's got a lot of allergies. There are a good number now you can choose from, but there are some babies that none of them really work well. So they endure a lot of gassy problems. They have a lot of spitting up. They don't gain weight well. And there's the other babies that, just by the sheer fact that they're being bottle-fed the formula, they can easily be overfed that formula. Mm-hmm. So that's a kind of a skill in and of itself to not overfeed the formula. So there we have, if the gut's getting constantly stretched bigger, then that baby gets used to having 8 or 10 ounces of formula, And, I mean, they can get up way too many calories that way, and mom maybe doesn't even realize it just because of the nature of the feeding.
So somebody is a working woman, which in this day and age, unfortunately, that seems to be, and not that that's, you know, nothing wrong with being a working woman, but it there used to be a time, and you remember this well, and I remember it, when one income was really enough to survive and do well on. And it seems like I think a lot of people now have two incomes because they feel, you know, it's a lot harder. Things have gotten a little more difficult, don't you think, at all?
Oh, absolutely. It is a huge factor in all of this. Our country does not really, it's not supportive of families taking care of their children. It's just, it's a blatant fact. I mean, we are very low compared to other first world countries, for sure, as far as taking care of our families in order for them to learn how to parent, learn how to get to know their baby, and have it be enough time to do so, as well as unpressured time. So when a mom has to go back at 6 weeks postpartum to her job, that is so little time for her to recover. She has not recovered from childbirth, basically, and she's just kind of getting used to her baby and ironing out some of the breastfeeding problems that may have occurred. So, but then in the mind of that mom, before she's even had the baby, is how do I pump enough breast milk when I have to go to work, either at work or to prepare? So they're already worried about pumping breast milk as soon as that baby's born. And so that's a, to me, that's a real sad fact that they have to be worried and concerned. So the anxiety level that I'm seeing with moms is through the roof about so many different things. There's a lot of pressure to breastfeed perfectly, be a full-time working mother, and take care of your family and your home. Just keep things going. There's just so much pressure. So I think that it's a harder process for women to come into than it used to be when there wasn't as much either, because our cost of living has vastly gotten much more expensive, that both parents have to work more than they used to. So it is a very different world. And I know that women that are carving out a career and worked really hard on it don't want to be gone too long from that career. They don't want to lose their place in the company or the business or the area, like with being a nurse or a doctor or any other type of career they might have. They don't want to lose their place in that, you know, improvement as they're going up the ladder of getting higher into the levels that they want to be. So I really understand that. And what we're seeing is that now we have some laws being made to protect working mothers. We have a law that protects the non-salaried mom. Now, women who are working under salary do not have this protection or this guarantee. But women who are working and get like an hourly pay, there is a federal law that states they have to have a facility to pump in and an allowable time. It's a little vague, but there is allowable time to pump in their company. They have to be allowed that. So that's been a breakthrough in the last 5 years or so that has been helpful. So I think we're seeing a few things like that. I know that more and more companies are trying to provide comfortable places for women to breastfeed in when they're consumers. So you go to, I think maybe the stadium in Green Bay may have one,
really?
Like a little lactation room. Yeah,
really?
Some of the
right at level,
yeah,
right at level field.
I think so. I think that was one of them. I think there's one in Philadelphia at a stadium. There's
wow.
Several different airports around that are kind of special. That women, if they want that privacy and they want a special place to be able to relax and pump or nurse their baby in, either way, they would have that. Now, mind you, it is perfectly fine for the mother to be anywhere, any place, and breastfeed her baby. It's an unfortunate fact that people do get upset about that sometimes,
mm-hmm.
because basically what she's doing is feeding her baby. There's no other purpose for it.
Right.
And sometimes you see a lot more skin just by walking through Walmart. Unfortunately, people seem to get more indignant than I've ever heard them get in the past. So people don't feel comfortable around that. But women have the right. And I think in most of the states of the union now, I believe Idaho is still not there yet. There might be one or two states, but most of the states have laws that designate the mother has the right to be able to breastfeed anywhere and not be denied any services or any type of, you know, what if they're there in that store or in that facility, they have the right to be there and breastfeed in public as they feel comfortable.
You don't.
So Michigan has a law that's about 4 years old now. It's an anti-discrimination law that designates that is what they have the right to do, and they can sue that company or that restaurant or whatever business it is if they're told that they need to leave.
You know, there was a time, I got to believe, in our history that, you know, maybe they, you know, women didn't go out to restaurants, you know, 100 years ago, but obviously that was the way you fed your child, and I'm sure that women were allowed to do that. Maybe they had to be in certain places, but we were more accepting of that because it was a natural thing. We didn't have something else that, and then we replaced that, you know, with a different way of doing it, and we lose sight of what people used to do all the time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and this
mm-hmm.
is, you see that with a lot of things, Rosa. You see, you know, we used to do for, when you go to a doctor, you might be given some advice on how you can lower your blood pressure and things like that. And a lot of times now, maybe you just get a pill. So there was a more common sense approach at one time to everything, I think. And by gaining knowledge and gaining technology, that's good. But at the same time, we've lost some things. And I think, you know, some of the simplest, you know, I believe in chiropractics. I believe that makes a huge difference in a person's body. It can, maybe not for everybody, but it's a simpler way to treat somebody, you know, and there's probably many ancient teachings that went on that we've just kind of moved away from because we become these industrialized beings that live in these comfortable homes. And so we've lost sight of a simpler time. And I think the most natural way was all designed. Isn't it just beautifully designed? You know, there's a divine intelligence mm-hmm. lining that all
right.
up. And it's mm-hmm. all meant to be, but then we go, well, maybe this way is quicker and better, and this will be, and it's like every time we do that, it seems like every time we come up with something that we think is better, it always goes back to nature. I was talking about this on the radio, that today is International Forest Day. Did you know that? And
no.
The majority, like 75% of cures are found in these rainforests, and we've only scratched 1% of what's in these rainforests to find the cures for things. So there's so much out there that we can draw from, that the ancient peoples that lived knew this because they had no other choice. They lived a simpler life. So when you start telling me about how breastfeeding can affect our health, what other illnesses, is there evidence to support it affects cancer and things like
that?
Oh,
yeah. Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's evidence to show it decreases the potential for childhood cancers and cancers with the mom. So, for instance, if the baby is a baby girl and she's breastfeeding, and usually there's a significant, you know, to breastfeed even one day is very important. If that's all the mom can do to breastfeed that few moments or that one day, every drop of breast milk counts, every drop. But if the mom can get support and get over any difficulties she has and go on to breastfeed for a whole year or longer, then the significance and the amount of prevention, of course, multiplies. It gets bigger and better. So with cancers, yes, breast cancer. So if a baby's nursing and it's a baby girl, mom's nursing, the longer that they breastfeed, the better, of course. But if they've nursed about a year or so, it decreases the breast cancer rates significantly. For instance, I did the math on myself.
Okay.
So I have five children. And I breastfed all of them, of course, so at least 3 years. So I did all the math, and there's a formula. I forget what it is. But I have about 120% possibility that I will not get breast cancer. You know, that doesn't take into genetics, right? So, genetically, there would be a factor in there, too. But because my body did not make estrogen during that time, very, very low to no levels of estrogen during the time I was breastfeeding and pregnant, then that's why I'm less likely to get breast cancer. So there's some real reason, and then the baby too. It's sort of the whole immune factor with the baby, the type of protection the baby gets through breastfeeding, also decreases her chances of getting breast cancer in her future. And it goes into, you know, infants with decreased rates of Crohn's disease. We talked about the diabetes, the obesity, heart disease is the new thing that they're saying that moms that breastfeed will have less heart disease. The mother herself would have less chance of heart disease. So it's starting. We're starting to realize this is a way to affect many levels of disease in all these, and I think they've estimated billions of dollars can be saved, and many millions of lives can be saved by breastfeeding up to that year plus time. So it's amazing to me that no one has figured out that breastfeeding is really worth spending a whole bunch of money on. It is not seen that way. We scrape and beg and hope for money in a lot of ways. And I know our coalition has been really blessed by having a grant like the Superior Health Foundation provided us with that grant. We've been able to do a lot of wonderful things with it. But it's not something that's easily found in any area. I talk to people throughout the whole country about breastfeeding. Utah, Georgia, Texas, I've had people contact me, of course, through Facebook about this. So I think our society does not include that as enough significance to make sure that there's very good skilled folks working within the healthcare system to promote and sustain breastfeeding. Because what happens in the hospital is very, very important, but then mom goes home and she's on her own. Mm-hmm. And so that's when other problems can happen. That's where someone like me can come in, and just by having a home visit with her, talking to her on the phone, there are things I can help. And probably about 90% of the time, a lot of what I do is very basic, and a lot of it is encouragement and giving them an idea what's normal, what's okay, or this means this, therefore, let me give you some things to try to fix that, to make it better. And those things can promote a whole different world of breastfeeding for that mom. And she goes on to do it very well by herself. She checks in with me once in a while. We talk about things. And she could go on and then breastfeed other children after that. So the mom-to-mom connection, there's nothing that sustains that and promotes that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that used to be a bigger support, wasn't that? A support group for that.
Right. Exactly. Well, and I think we've lost a few generations to breastfeeding because formula became the more acceptable way to go, and there was nobody that knew enough about it to tell you how to get over these problems. So I find that grandmas, and I'm a grandma too, but a lot of grandmas are trying to help, but they only formula fed their children. So they're at a loss to know how to help that new mom with the new baby. So what can they do? They can give a little bottle of formula so mommy can get a little more sleep. Mm. You know, so they're trying to be helpful, and they know that as that's where they're comfortable. But that's where we're running into trouble, because then that starts a very slippery slope of more and more bottles, more and more formula. So I think we're struggling a little bit because this is what I find. New moms nowadays are very aware of the benefits of breastfeeding. If they choose to breastfeed, then there's a lot of information, and they are finding good information out there. Where we run into trouble is the doing of it. So when they get home and they're having these different issues, then who do they reach out to? Who can help them? Most doctor's offices don't have anyone specifically designated with enough skill to do that. So that's where things start to go, you know, kind of
fall
apart.
So somebody, I was going to ask you, Rosie, if somebody's listening to this, and people could be listening all over the world to this, do you want me to have them call you? Or is there somebody that, you might be getting a call from, you know, Sweden. I'm just saying.
Sure.
Is there, you're open to that? I'll put your email address when we do this interview? Or what do you think?
What I would suggest is coming through, I have a Facebook.
Okay.
I have Facebook,
okay.
A couple Facebook couple Facebook links I can give you. That's probably the easier way because I have a support group on Facebook.
Great.
So when people get a hold of me, I control that group, though, because I watch it carefully. Because there is a lot of information out there, and some of it is very detrimental.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it is not approached. People will throw opinions at you, and a lot of it is not going to be helpful and kind of promotes an inaccuracy that leads to a negative outcome.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want that. We want moms to get the right information. So, yeah, I'm on Facebook and in several places. That's probably a good way to get a hold of me. And I can give people a lot of links to other, like the La Leche group I mentioned is international. So there could be a La Leche League group in Sweden or in Afghanistan or Zimbabwe or in Utah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, not always, but, you know, because this is a mother-run organization and mothers are too busy to go to meetings. You know, if you worked all day long, to go to a meeting at night is kind of the last thing you feel like doing,
right.
And I totally get that. So, you know, and I don't know if you guys talk, if you've talked about this in other podcasts, but I think volunteerism has had a huge decline. Those of us that can volunteer now, I don't have the little children at home anymore,
mm-hmm.
So I know that women are struggling because when I was a young mom, I had time to go to meetings. I worked part-time, but I would go, and I could give time and effort. What I do a lot of with breastfeeding is very much on volunteer time. So I think that we just have such a busy society that things have slower change because there's just like less people to do it.
There's
so
less.
That's what we find, yeah.
And I find a lot of parents, too, nowadays, their kids are involved in so many things. So they work, they are constantly running their kids everywhere, and I'm thinking, when do you have time for anything, you know? And I wouldn't have been such a good parent if my son was, you know, born in this day and age, because I probably wouldn't have been involved in every little thing. He might have a couple mm-hmm. of things he's involved in. But I think parents also have to find that balance. You know, if we aren't balanced out as well, it's hard to do anything. You know, life is always, mm-hmm. to me, is about finding balance. So too much of anything, you know, if we're too much of our work, too much of running around doing other stuff, everybody has to understand. I think the family dynamic also has to understand. I just interviewed Ed McBroom. He was on the radio with me. You know who Ed is? He used to be a representative.
No.
He's a farmer. He used to be mm-hmm. a representative with the state. He's telling me that he gets up at 4 in the morning, and on busy nights, he's up till 10 at night milking the cows and doing all this stuff.
Wow.
And it's like, so you find a way to have balance in all that you do because his days are just packed full of things. But the family all comes together and they all help out. And that's the way we used to live. Wasn't it at one time, don't you think, Rose? We all lived and everybody helped out. And now everybody's got their own thing they're doing, you know? And it's like mom and dad are running around trying to keep everybody happy.
Oh, definitely that's a modern society that we're in for sure. Now, I will tell you one of the benefits of breastfeeding that are not listed sometimes is that you have to sit down and breastfeed.
Mm.
When you breastfeed, you sit down. It forces the mother, forces maybe not the best word to use, but the mom, in order to breastfeed, she sits down. A lot of what I do when I go in to help is make sure she's comfortable. You know, she shouldn't get a neck ache or a kink in her back from breastfeeding. We make her comfortable. It promotes the flow of milk. It promotes all these things. So that's one of the things I enjoyed when I was breastfeeding is I sat down, I cuddled my baby. My baby looked up at me with love in his eyes and was taking milk from my body. And I saw him grow. And it was all me.
Mm-hmm.
It was all due to what I was providing for him. But the relaxation, the time together, the time where it's just all spent doing that, it's part of what you do when you breastfeed. If you're not just an exclusively pumping mom, but if you're breastfeeding too, and or that's mostly what you do, that is going to naturally bring the baby back to mom. And, you know, I don't want all this to be very negative because I do find women really do want to breastfeed.
Mm-hmm.
They're very the knowledge is there. The desire is there. And I know that one of the beautiful things that is happening more and more throughout the country is that the doctors that deliver babies and midwives, they put that baby immediately after birth, if mom and baby are both healthy and everything's going well, they put that baby skin to skin with the mom. immediately. Mm. So that there's they call it the magical hour, that first hour of life. Mm. There's a lot of things that happen in that hour. If you just leave mom and baby alone, you have a nice warmed up blanket over the two of them, but really and truly, skin to skin contact is a magical thing. It promotes the baby's heart rate to be stabilized, breathing rate is stabilized, the baby's temperature is maintained at a very nice level, not too high, not too low. And then the baby has enough instinctual behavior that evolves out of that hour where they can actually get on the breast many times on their own. If the mother has been heavily medicated or had a lot of pain medication during the birth, it's a slower evolution. But if they haven't had very much or none, then the baby actually moves and wiggles and roots and gets to the breast and can latch on by his or herself. Hmm. So moms are discovering that. And sometimes that takes a mom that's sort of ambivalent about breastfeeding and makes her just feel, just fall in love with her baby. And it's a very different experience. Even with C-sections, they've started what they call gentle C-sections. That's a given thing here at War Memorial Hospital. Every C-section, unless it's a real, high-risk one, is always a gentle C-section. And basically what that does is that mom is released from her hands or released. The baby is put on mom's skin right after they're removed from the uterus and wrapped up, but then they're put skin to skin on mom. If everything is healthy and everything's good, and that mom still gets that first latch, baby nuzzling her breast, being right against her right from the get-go, and she's still being sewn up from the C-section. And that has caused such an increase in breastfeeding, and mothers just love it. Mm-hmm. So we are finding that things are changing. There's definitely a lot of good things going on. There's a lot of people who want to promote that. And moms themselves are so appreciative when someone can help them because they love the fact that now breastfeeding's easy. It's so much nicer for them. They can go longer than they thought. These things are all very, very doable. So, and for me as a nurse, it's a huge blessing to be involved in every single time that happens. I just feel blessed beyond belief that I can be part of this.
And in the long run, too, like you said, Rosa, there are some great health benefits for the mother who's doing the breastfeeding.
Yes. Right? Yep.
So it's a win-win.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
It's just
it certainly is. It certainly is. And, the thing we want to get away from is thinking, if you breastfeed, you're special. And you are. However, it's normal. We shouldn't even be calling it breastfeeding. It's infant feeding. Mm-hmm. That is the normal thing we as a species do.
All species.
Formula feeding is artificial feeding. And yes, and just like any normal process, things go off the track and have to be, supplemented and you find different ways of dealing with it. And so therefore formula has definitely a place in our world. And thank God it's been better than what it used to be. But basically, breastfeeding is a normal process. And the only thing we're finding, too, that interferes with it, of course, is the more interventions in birthing that happen, the more likely there is to have breastfeeding issues as well. So that's where we do see a surge now in the doula. I don't know if you know what a doula is.
No.
But it's a birth companion. It's someone who has specialized training in labor and delivery in a natural way. They're not medical people, but they're usually moms that have had babies themselves. So they get to know the family, whoever's having the single mom, the mom with her partner, whoever that may be, and they get to know what they prefer, kind of who they are. They accompany them to the hospital or the birthing center. They're with them throughout the whole birth and afterwards, and so they're encouraging. They're giving ideas, making suggestions, participating, and making that birth as natural as possible. It is something these people get paid to do. Some of them have a pro bono part of what they do as well, but pretty much people can have that service, and it's shown to decrease C-section rates. It's definitely chosen to do that. Marquette has its own doulas of Marquette. Melinda Britton is all up there, and she's fabulous. She has a group of doulas that do that up there. So it's something that's a happening thing. Not so much in my area, but it is something that does help when people are struggling and don't know how to get that natural birth going and they want to try as best they can. That's a service that really helps. So that's we're trying to go back to the natural, TJ.
I agree.
We are.
I agree. You know what I just read the other day? I read this in this show prep that I get. More and more people are switching back to cloth diapers. More and more people.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Because they're the disposable ones and what they do to our landfills and the money you spend on them. And when my son was little, that's what we had. We couldn't afford, when I first got a radio, we couldn't afford this. We had cloth diapers until we, you know, maybe would buy some Pampers. But I just see, from my perspective, Rosa, and I don't know if you see this, we are moving back toward, there's a great change coming. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is pushing us back to the way things were. And it doesn't mean it's more difficult. It's just a more natural way to be. Do you see that as well, Rosa?
Oh, yeah, I do. Well, as far as in my own particular area, yes, I think there's a realization. However,
right.
The problem with that is it's got to be, we have to take the old ways and make them work in our new world.
Yeah.
So the mother that's working and breastfeeding, there's a different approach there because we know she, most of them have to work. That's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so how can we help her to feel encouraged and sustained during that time? Because she still wants to be able to breastfeed her baby as long as possible. I think that I see a great turn in anxiety, increased anxiety because of people trying to do so many things. So that's where, you know, people like me, people that are out there that are knowledgeable, reliable sources of information can hopefully help work on some of that people know where to turn. We have, our coalition actually has a helpline, a breastfeeding helpline, that when you call or text that number, you will reach a trained lactation consultant any day of the year, 365 days a year. Bless her heart, she answers it late at night,
mm-hmm.
early in the morning.
Right.
It's not usually me, but that's 906-630-0050. So that we've answered, you know, we can answer questions from anybody. Of course, home visits are pretty much in Chippewa County because, you know, I'd love to go to Texas, but, you know, it's a little hard for me to get there.
Yeah,
But we also have now a billboard in our town that says breastfeeding in big pink letters with our helpline listed. It says breastfeeding anywhere, anytime, any questions. So we have our helpline there and a mom that's actually breastfeeding on the billboard. So we haven't been running hard and feathered and run out of town yet.
You know,
so that is a huge thing.
I was just going to say, because we're going to wrap it up pretty soon, I know you got to get back to doing some things, but
yes.
The only way we move forward with anything, especially something that makes such obvious sense, is by talking about it. And that's why I wanted to do a discussion on that today. And the more people, it's like anything. Look at the things that we all maybe were a little freaked out by. And then as we found out more and more about them, it's like, oh, okay, that's not a big deal. So, again, just talking about it opens the door, and I think it allows, hopefully, for more and more people to feel comfortable with it, especially, you know, if you're uncomfortable, like you said, when women should be able to nurse anywhere. And I agree with you. And maybe there's some people going, well, my goodness, I don't want to see that in the library. Well, then go read a book or whatever. It's like, it's part of what's natural and it needs to be accepted. So I thank you very much. Is there anything else you want to tell us today, Rosa?
Well, if you want to find me on Facebook, I can tell you how to find what we've got available. Do you want me to do that
sure,
right now?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. So one of the support group is called Best Breastfeeding Support Group. So if you put that in the search engine for Facebook, you'll find it. So it's BEST in capital letters, Breastfeeding Support Group. If you would like to join me there, I can approve you once I know for sure you're a breastfeeding mom. And that's some weirdo over in Japan or who knows where, looking for breasts. And then the other one is the Chippewa County. This is a longer name, Chippewa County Breastfeeding Education and Support Team. And once you've got it in your engine, it'll always pop up. So that is our coalition's site. Anyone can like that. And I put a lot of information on there. And then I have my own personal Facebook, Rosa Gardner Lactation Consultant. It's R-O-S-A, my last name is G-A-R-D-I-N-E-R, Lactation Consultant. And I can take private questions, and I put things on there, not as much, but I do activate that as well.
Why do you feel the need to do what you do? Why do you feel that this is something It's driving you, obviously. It's your passion. Why is that?
I feel that it is my passion, absolutely, and that God has given me a chance to do this for other moms. I just feel like there's, number one, there's a huge need. I know how I felt when I was part of a group of women that were doing the same thing as I did. They were able to give me some answers and to give me support and feel comfortable with me breastfeeding. So I know that every mom that I can, whose life I might be able to be part of in this way, will give her baby the best thing ever and also have that chance to enjoy and explore the whole world of breastfeeding as far as a way of life. It's a way of life, and it's something that I treasure that I had with every single one of my children. It's their moments that I look back on, and they still catch my breath and bring a tear to my eye because it was joyful and beautiful and frustrating and difficult. Those are part of it, as all parenting is. But I'm so grateful to have that, and I just want other women to have it as well, and for this not to be lost in a thing that will be lost in the whole mix of interventions in birth or just busy society. It doesn't have to be that way. So I think it's a chance for us to rejuvenate it, and I'm just so blessed every time I get a chance to talk to a mom and hear her say, oh, I didn't know it could be like this, and be happy and relieved. It's just a blessing to me. So over and over again, I get a lot of just good feelings. Like I feel like there is a purpose to my life in that way.
I think everybody has a purpose, don't you think, Rosa? We all do, don't we?
Yeah. Yes, and it's finding it. It's that finding it that's sometimes a long journey, but I feel like this has been a very good journey for me, and I'm hoping that, I'm to the point now at my age, I'm 61 years old, and I hope to keep going strong for a while, but I do feel like I'm ready to teach others to fish. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm here to mentor. I try to mentor people as much as I can. All these things I've learned by really investing myself over all these years, I'm ready to teach others the tricks and tips I can give them. And hopefully they'll go on, because that's how we exchange information in the way we've done for many, many, many years over the millennium,
right,
is person to person.
Right.
So I feel like that's a huge thing, that part of what I do as well.
I thank you very much, Rosa Gardner from Chippewa County. I appreciate everything you said today, and I'd love to talk to you again sometime. Thank you so much.
Yep, I think it's a date. All right, TJ, thank you very much.